Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Oh God, for this day, for this hour, we give you thanks. Amen. Sometimes the lectionary, which is the schedule that we use most Sundays, and many other denominations use as a preaching schedule that takes us through the liturgical year. That's why at Christmas time we know it's time to preach Christmas text, and at Easter it's time to preach Easter, and in this ordinary time we get to read things that are, quote, ordinary? Maybe not. But sometimes the lectionary does you a favor. It gives you a gift. It gives you this wonderful bit of information and this text to dive into that just seems to mysteriously, maybe even magically, go along with whatever is going on in our world today. Sometimes it matches up so perfectly, it's like we planned it. And other times, the lectionary can be quite cruel to preachers and to congregations. You see, sometimes it can give you a gift, and sometimes it can burn you. Like giving you a text, like the Genesis text this morning, about Abraham being asked by Sarah to send away your servant and your son from her on the week right after Father's Day. We have to preach about a father, Father Abraham, who had many sons. We know this because we sung the song so long ago. Father Abraham had many sons, and one son he sent away. That doesn't seem quite right. That doesn't seem very fatherly, to abandon, to send away, giving only enough water from a day's journey. That doesn't seem very fatherly, and so we're left scratching our heads and thinking, how do I preach about this after Father's Day? While this may be funny, if not a little ironic and cruel, it serves as a reminder of who God is and who we are as the people of God that are claimed by that God. Because we have relationship, texts like this have to be put in places where they remind us who our Father is, who we are children of. You see, the Genesis text is a tough one to read. Father Abraham seems to be abandoning, sending his life, his fatherly duties away at the request of his wife. More or less, Abraham was sending them away to die. It was a hopeless situation, and he knew it. That's why he had struggled. Did you catch that in the text? He struggled with it. He didn't know what to do. And in that moment, God moves. You see, while it's tempting to focus on Abraham and what's going on between Abraham and Sarah and the turmoil in their household and all the wrong things that are happening there, sending someone out to die, we can miss the fact that God moves in that place. You see, it's a common thing to focus on the role of human action in the Bible, and oftentimes people struggle with this being the Word of God because there's so much wrong with it. How can we claim to be father of or children of Abraham? Because I am one of them, and so are you. How can we do that when he does something so unfatherlike? It's tempting to miss the action of God by focusing too much on the actions of humanity. You see, when Sarah makes the request to send them away, God intervenes. God intervenes and lets Abraham know, you may be the boy's father, and she may be your servant, but I am your father, and I will be their father, and I will be her master and his master, and they are mine because they are yours, and I, not you, will make them survive, and not only survive, but prosper. I will make him into a great nation. Yeah, sometimes the lectionary does you a favor, and giving you a text like this is an Old Testament lesson. Then we get to turn to a much happier. Well, at least we get to hear from Jesus today. Oh, thank you. Give us a kind word, Jesus. And then we're hit with this text. It's part of Jesus' discourse, and it connects to God's concern even for the sparrow. God's concern for the sparrow that's hardly worth anything. And God is also concerned with Hagar and Ishmael. God cares. And yet we still have to confront the fact that Jesus in this passage, although comforting with this word, and we can think of the beautiful song, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And in the midst of that comforting thought, where we're happy that we're getting to read Jesus and not about Father Abraham sending his servant and his son away, probably to death, that Jesus gets divisive. He talks about families being divided by him. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, something to drive and to force fighting. Have you ever watched two boys, when you give them two sticks, they immediately turn into swords or lasers or something, right? I didn't come to bring peace, an olive branch, but I came to bring a stick and a sword. Basically, Jesus' message here, it should bother us, maybe except for the part about not getting along with your in-laws. But this message is ultimately about how I, as God, should be more important than anything in your life. I should be more important than your relationship with your children. I should be more important than your relationship with your parents. I should be more important than anything. Because I am everything. Our alliance, our allegiance, and our reliance should all be on or with God. That's the point of this scripture. That's the point of reading these stories about God saying, Abraham, do not worry, because I am everything, and I will be everything for them. You see, essentially, following Christ and maintaining a right relationship with God requires a sort of coup d'etat in our lives, where Jesus and God take over. We, like the disciples, must leave all to love and follow rightly. But so much competes for our love, for our allegiances, for our time, and for our attention. Our money, our gifts, our talents, our interests, our desires. Over the next few weeks and months, we'll be asking the question in our sermons, what are you living for? What is it that life is about for you? What's the driving force? And as we explore that question, we'll explore a number of different answers that we sometimes hear and maybe even sometimes give. Today, it's family. Are we living for our family? Our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. The familial sense in the nuclear family, right? Mom, dad, brother, sister, 2.5 kids, a dog, maybe a cat, if you're like that kind of person. Do we love our mother more than we love God? Do we love our sons, our daughters, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers more than we love God? Are we living for that? Jesus makes it clear. He expects to be more important than family. And this can be especially true. The things that we compete with can be especially true at a time like Christmas, where we so often hear the most important thing is that we are together as family. Sometimes I catch myself saying that. Friends, the most important thing at Christmas is who it's named after. It's tempting to read scriptures like this today and focus so much on us and ourselves and the actions of humanity to allow ourselves to usurp what this is about. The reason we are gathered today, what life is about and what we are living for, is God. When Sarah makes this request of Abraham, God intervenes and lets Abraham know, you may be the father, but I am your father. The Genesis text reveals that ultimately God is caring for us and for our families. And because we trust that we have a generous, provisional God, we need not worry and need not feel the need to put ourselves in the place of God. In the role of parent, in the role of child. Amen.